Hey, welcome back, and thanks for listening to the WFO Live podcast. In this episode, Chris Story and I talk about his recent adventure running a virtual marathon. That's right, a virtual marathon. This was a fun interview where we kind of went through all the challenges he had leading up to the Marine Corps marathon that was run this year completely virtually. It was a good insight into the mindset and to the challenges that one can overcome in a difficult circumstance. So I hope you'll enjoy this episode and all the pearls that we kind of discuss near the end, where we talk about various aspects of overcoming obstacles and getting through difficult times. So on that note, it's time for the bumper music. Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission. And we are live. Good evening, Chris. How are you tonight?
Well, couldn't be any better, I guess, unless I was one of the presidential candidates, right? So.
God, talk about crazy. You know, living up in Philly, are you helping with the voting at all? I mean, with the not with the voting, but the counting. My goodness.
I voted 8 times and they didn't say anything.
No, I'm just kidding. Don't do it. Yeah. Well, you know, gosh, I just don't understand why it's taking so long. You know, I mean, the counting. I mean, I guess they're trying to make sure everything's accurate, but it just seems like everyone else got done early. Why are we still counting in Philly?
I don't know, but I really appreciate the memes, you know, like just like that came out at the beginning of the coronavirus lockdown. It's like people get creative when they're forced to go internal a little bit. And I've seen some pretty funny ones. Like American Idol can count 150 million votes during a commercial break, but somehow we can't, you know, figure that out in a week with a presidential election.
Yeah. I'm just imagining there's somebody really distracted, like, you know, 1, 2, 3. Wait, what was that? You know, they go back, you know, they go back again. I don't know. I'm going to make a light of it. But, you know, people are like, in clinic, I'm seeing people so freaked out. They're just so wrapped up in something that, you know, I mean, I think it's obviously it's important to our country, you know, who our elected leaders are. But at the same time, to some extent, people can get really wrapped up in something that's outside their sphere of influence, you know, that just really isn't something they can control necessarily, you know, and we just all have to adapt and move on. I know election night, I didn't even bother watching. Everybody's like, hey, are you watching it? Are you watching what's going on? I was like, no, I went out in my man cave and just worked on my race car, you know, I'm going to hang out here tonight and just see what happens. Yeah. And lo and behold, I woke up the next day and it still wasn't decided. So.
Yeah, you know, it's like one of those things. I mean, we talk and post about it a lot, but it's like, you know, control the things you can in your own sphere of influence and, you know, let everything else go as it may, you know. So that's the best way to be, I think. I mean,
well, I understand what we were going to talk about tonight was you did a virtual marathon recently. And why, pray, would you do that? Do a virtual marathon. I really am looking forward to hearing the rationale. Of course, I know you're a marathon runner and it was one that you were committed to, but man, it's interesting to me how they pull off these virtual marathons and the maybe all the specific challenges you ran into with that. So tell me how that went.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about it is, you know, obviously it was a marathon that I've done a bunch of times in person. It's the Marine Corps Marathon. And I've done other marathons, but, you know, even if you're not a Marine, a lot of people that I've talked to there and you go online and you can search, if you're going to do maybe only one marathon in your life or maybe your first marathon, the Marine Corps Marathon is something special. You know, they call it the People's Marathon for various reasons, but, you know, obviously there's some fanfare along with the military service and It starts close to the Pentagon and it ends at the Iwo Jima memorial at the kind of at the end area of Arlington National Cemetery. So it's, you know, a lot of cool historic sites. You run through the mall, you run by the Capitol building. You actually run in areas that you would never be able to run in because of traffic and security in any normal day. So it's like beyond cool, and I've done it a bunch of times. So that's just a plug. If you've never done a marathon, do that one. But
now, in all full disclosure, we had a discussion about this almost 7-8 months ago where you had me kind of hyped up to go do exactly that. And I actually went down the road, battered my body against the rocks, trying to get ready for 26 miles. But then as the COVID thing starts hitting, things started changing. I know at first they were going to adjust the time, you know, maybe adjust the number of people. And then they started adjusting it. And finally it got adjusted back to a virtual race. So there was no, that course you just talked about didn't actually happen this year, did it?
No, it, and I actually thought about, you know, saying screw it and trying to go run the course on my own, you know, through DC. But I was like, you know, with life and other things going on, I think what they did for everybody who paid and was already signed up, they kind of auto deferred you to next year. But then if you paid another $40, you could still get the medal and the shirt and everything for this year's marathon if you did it virtually. So I was like, you know what? I'd already been training and I've done it so many years in a row. I wasn't going to let, you know, pandemic or other excuses creep in, you know, which was easy. And I will say I kind of not quit my training, but maybe I backed off a little bit on the intensity when I was in limbo and not knowing what was going on. But and I ended up, I guess, kind of shortchanging the end part of my training because now we're getting towards the end of the year and I have like Marine Corps requirements and tests that I have to do and that don't really coincide well with marathon training. So
you got to do your fitness stuff.
I have to do a combat fitness test, which is like running. It's like sprinting in boots and carrying people that weigh the same that I do. And so obviously long endurance training is not with, you know, compatible with anaerobic training and carrying, you know, 200 pounds of weight. So I had to like sequence it where, especially being up here in the Northeast, I mean, I have till the end of the year to do it. But as you can imagine in Philadelphia, you don't want to be doing, you know, running outside and carrying people in the middle of December, you know, so it's kind of, kind of Thanksgiving, for various reasons, obviously the holidays, but just more the weather up here. You're like, okay, you don't want to be like on, you know, low crawling on frozen ground, you know, as part of your test that you have to, you know, get a score on. I wanted to have enough time to do the race and recover and train properly for the next thing I got going on. So I was like, I had done, I think, a 15 or a 16 miler, and typically you work up to 20 miles and then heal up for 2 or 3 weeks and then do the marathon. So I was like, well, I did a 15 or 16 miler the week before, and I was like, kind of F it. I'm just going to do it this Saturday.
Right.
I looked at the calendar, you know, all things considered. I was like, well, my body's not quite as banged up because I didn't do that 20 miler. On the flip side, not quite as prepared either. But I was like, well, I'm just going to do it. And I did it. So
you picked a course near your house. If I recall our conversation, maybe did you do a loop or did you use your house as home base or water station? How did that work out?
Yeah. So that's, you know, did some military style planning on that a little bit where I was like, okay, on a marathon, obviously if you're doing a marathon in person, you have a lot of benefits. Like you don't have to carry water with you. You don't have to carry gels and food because especially a well-supported race like the Marine Corps Marathon, I mean, they give you fruit and gel packs and donuts. And, you know, there's even fraternities at Georgetown University that give you beer if you want it at different times. So, you have the benefits of any big race is going to have, like, you don't have to carry stuff with you. I mean, they have Gatorade and water and Gatorade and water. So I think about every 5K, they actually have a station at the Marine Corps Marathon, which is crazy. You know, so you definitely don't have to carry anything with you. And so I was like, okay, well, I can't carry everything I need. And so I carried a little bit of water and a little bit of stuff with me. And so the way I did it was, there's a really nice trail system up here, relatively close to my house. And typically I drive there and it's like 3 miles. But I'll drive there, run on the trails, and drive back home. So I was like, well, if I have to run 26 miles, why the hell am I going to drive 3 miles? I'll just,
run there.
Yeah. So I ran the 3 miles to the trail, and then I ran 6 or 8 miles, eight and a half miles on the trail, and then did kind of a different way on the way back. For various reasons. So my wife was set up with my kids. So I essentially did 2 giant loops, and that made it about 24 miles. And then I actually ran the last 2 miles of the race with my kids around the neighborhood.
Oh, that's cool. So you kind of engaged them in the whole process finished up just close to home.
Yeah. So typically they actually are troopers, because the weather is very unpredictable in Northern Virginia in the end of October. I mean, there's been years where it's been like below freezing. There's been last year when I ran my 50K on the same route, it was a monsoon rainstorm. And then, you know, my family typically tries to meet me at 3 or 4 places along the race. And so there's different, they have a really cool spectator's guide for that race where you can use the metro, you can use the buses, you can walk to different points. And so they typically see me 3 or 4 times along the race route, which is cool. You know, so right. You kind of, I don't even use music, because there's so much. I mean, there's bands playing, there's, like I said, there's the frat boys handing out beer, there's all the sights, and so you kind of want to soak it in, right? And so this time, more so than other years, I will say it was a different type of mental challenge, really just, you know, running by myself. And it's a Saturday morning, and so there's people that see you on the trail. There's people passing you on the trail. I was passing other people, and, you know, I'm pretty sure I was the only one running a full marathon that morning, you know? And,
right. That's kind of what interested me. This is what's really interesting to me is because you went out, and it's a different game when there's not all the hoopla, there's not all the energy from the other runners, that type of thing. A different game. That's something that I know you must have had some kind of hardship or mentally a lot tougher to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that I was a little bit maybe unprepared or undertrained. I mean, I always stay in really good shape, or I try to. I wasn't in, you know, probably tip-top marathon shape. So what I did was I ran probably a little bit slower pace-wise than I was capable of running, maybe, right? And part of that was knowing and preparing that, hey, the normal mental boost that you get from all of that fanfare of this big race and seeing my family 3 or 4 times wasn't going to be there. And so I purposely, reserved some of that physical part to compensate for what I was going to have to do on the mental side, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. So yeah. Did you get to where did you get and how far did you go before you started having to kind of dig?
It was kind of odd. I wanted to try to, because I had the benefit of my family being there. My wife, and I had kind of prepared different random stuff. And so when I got to my house, I felt really good the first loop. And I was actually going to pull up some of my, splits here. So, I ran, minutes per mile wise, I ran 9:42, 9:13, 9:12, 10:24, 9:44, 9:49, 10:51, 9:50, 10:24, 10:20, 9:30, 9:16.
Wow.
So that was my first 12 miles about when I got to my house. So at that point, you know, especially since I ran, you know, four or five of them in the lower nines, I mean, I was probably averaging, 9:30 per mile at that point.
Right.
And so
that's pretty comfortable for you, though, I think.
Yeah, it is. And so I was purposely holding back. And the weird thing was, the technology can be a blessing or a curse. And I know, you know, you've invested in a nice watch that we consulted each other with, you know,
right.
In the past 6 or 8 months when you were, you know, going to start the training. And so, the hard part is, you know, I trust the technology and, you know, I trust my body. And so when I stopped at the house, I ate quite a bit, and so there's kind of a cost benefit there, right? And so the doctor will talk about this more. But so there's kind of what I see my body doing on the technology, I anticipate it, right? So if I eat a lot, my body's going to be taking some energy to digest that food, even though I use easily digestible stuff.
Right.
That's going to take slightly away from my cardio output. You know, so it's like my heart rate tends to go up a little bit when I eat a lot at those kind of strategic points. And I know it's like, hey, you know, it's going to shoot up a little bit because my body's trying to run and digest food, which takes a lot of energy. But then once, my highly digestible meal is kind of out of my stomach and absorbed a little bit in about half an hour, I kind of settle back in. My heart rate goes back to normal and I actually feel better. You know, I get that boost of not only my body trying to eat itself, but, whatever I've consumed. And so
a surge of glucose and everything from the meal you consumed. And usually people notice a pickup of energy.
Yeah, so the weird thing about it, my heart rate appeared to spike up higher. Like, I didn't feel that bad, but my heart rate spiked up but then kind of stayed there for longer than what I expected. And mm-hmm. so that kind of mentally messed with me a little bit. Even though I didn't feel like I was super labored in breath, it was like, as a matter of fact, I'll – yeah, so – you know, about the 2 hours. So before that, so my heart rate was kind of in the, the 140s, like, right. You know, even when I was, and so, but I, when I got to about 2.5 hours, it was like at like 170.
And that's for a big jump.
Yeah. And then it was like in the high 160s and it was like 170. And then even got up to 180 a little bit. So I think it might have been, it was really cold that day. And, you know, the technology is good with the wrist-based heart rate, but I think there are certain conditions that can affect it, right? So, I mean, I don't know if it was like in a different place on my wrist or because it was cold. And so that kind of messed with me mentally a little bit. But then, you know, when I got to later in the race, it was funny. By the end, like at 4 hours, it was back in the lower 150s. So,
yeah,
you know, that's just so it was like, I don't know if it was the technology or my body trying to stay warm and the food and everything on top of it. So there was some different, maybe I was more paranoid because I knew I had less support.
Right.
So I would say I never, I really never got to like hitting the wall because I think I had held back. Cause at that point, you know, I was already 12 miles in and, you know, I was, I essentially did almost half the race in about, you know, a little over 2 hours, which wow. I ran a few more 9 minute miles, but I kind of settled into maybe like a, you know, 10:30 pace. So I ended up averaging a 10:23 pace for the whole 26 miles. which is, you know, respectable. Yeah. So, absolutely. You know, usually I run under 4 hours, but that's with a full training cycle, working up to 20 miles. And so I wanted to, one, make sure I could finish with some dignity, not have like, you know, puke and God knows what else over me when I was finishing. So I held back a little bit, you know, had a few mental challenges, but, I think overcame it and generally had a good experience, all things considered.
Did you coordinate or the run with anyone that maybe was running at the same time, or just completely solo?
No, once I decided early to middle of that week, I was just resigned to the fact, hey, I thought about trying to do it with some of my Travis Mannion Foundation brethren in the area or whatever, but I was like, well, it's not really fair to them to have them scramble and, you know, try to shift their plan, you know, because I didn't give them enough notice. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to do it. It'll be a good challenge. And the funny thing was I was like, well, I want to listen to something, but I don't necessarily want to listen to music. And I actually listened to a book by somebody we're going to interview, you know, hopefully in the coming weeks. So I got a chance to do a little show prep, you know, during the marathon. So
very nice. So yeah. I guess at the end of it, you know, the reason we wanted to talk about this marathon, especially again, I the virtual aspect of it, the mental game is different than a regular marathon. I mean, you're no amateur to these. You've been doing these for a while. And so you kind of knew what to expect physically, I think, in a lot of ways, and generally pretty well prepared, it seems like. What kind of big takeaways do you have? I mean, a lot of the folks that listen to our show are, you know, trying to improve themselves. They're trying to up their game in many areas, sometimes physical, sometimes mental or emotional, you know, upgrades that we're all trying to make. What kind of takeaways did you have from this experience that maybe you could share with others?
I think I was reminded of something I already knew, that just when you challenge yourself doing something that you're not sure how it's going to go or that pushes your limits, there's some fear there. But when you overcome it, it really grows a callus around your center. It grows a little bit of a callus around your mind and your body and your soul. And so I obviously, with military training, I know this from a lot of different things. And I think it was good to have something like that test me in a different way. And with my recent, you know, challenges and adventures, in the Colorado mountains and with the program that I've been doing, I don't know that I would have maybe attempted it virtually completely alone like I did if I hadn't been doing some things to push my comfort zone in other areas over the past 6 months. So I would just say that really solidified what I already knew, that you feel good about yourself when you push in areas that are challenging mentally and physically. And I think especially in light of things going on right now with the continuing unknowns of the pandemic, the election, you know, craziness we're going through, the unknown that's going to go into next year with both the same two things, you know, potentially a new government and the pandemic. I think when you challenge yourself in areas like that, it puts it in perspective. And really, I think I have very low stress when it comes to, you know, work and the world and family, because, our bodies need that, you know, mentally and physically. And so I think that once you satisfy that challenge and, you know, survival and overcoming, there's a lot of positive, mental and physical aspects of it that allow you to deal with the other stuff a little bit better, I think.
I'm glad you mentioned the piece about, you know, COVID. And honestly, 2020 as a year has been a marathon for a lot of people. Yeah. You know, I know a lot of the folks that listen to this show have put up with so many challenges and had so many plans that were canceled, so many, you know, vacations. You know, in your case, you had a really, you know, an ongoing tradition of running the Marine Corps Marathon in person with all the hoopla and all the brothers in arms there and the national monuments and everything. And then, you know, I think it's important when times are uncertain like this and everybody's struggling, I think it's important that we hang on to certain things. And even if it's not quite the same, I admire the fact that you kind of pushed through and you did it. You did it because you planned to do it and it was there, and you still had the opportunity to kind of keep moving forward, just sort of adapt to the situation. I think that's practical and good advice for people in all walks. You know, I was just talking to some folks in clinic today, one in particular that was struggling to find work. And, you know, as a college graduate and had, you know, has this degree, but because of lots of shutdowns and lots of restricted hiring that in this person's field, they're just struggling. And you can just tell people just feel like they're sort of dead in the water. And yeah. I guess sort of indirectly, I get, you know, before even having this conversation, I sort of gave him some advice. It was, you know, just you have to adapt. You just have to keep moving forward. You have to, you know, find the best option forward. And I also told him to keep improving yourself. You know, keep, you know, in this instance, I thought maybe a little bit of, you know, maybe soft skills and stuff might help their chances of getting hired and things like that. And so say, hey, if you have the opportunity, work on yourself. And fortunately, they were open to that idea. I thought, yeah, you know, this is an opportunity for me to grow, even though, you know, things are not going the way I want them to right now. And I think you've been a good example for everyone that listens to this show. You make your goals, you've pushed through and you know, you went ahead and did the event, even though it wasn't what you expected.
Yeah. And I, you know, I was thankful for, in a lot of ways, what my line of work is. Not that I wouldn't have done some form of it, in spite of it, but, you know, going back to, you know, February, March, when, you know, some of this craziness began in 2020, you know, I was thankful that, you know, a lot of the risk factors, it seems like, with this virus are, you know, largely under our control. I mean, you know, obviously right. You can't control, in some cases, you can't control if you had some kind of other illness, like, you know, cancer that was hereditary or whatever that, you know, forced you to go on chemo that killed your immune system. But, you know, if you were fitter and, you know, not obese and things like that, you have a lot higher likelihood to not have a bad outcome with this virus, you know. And so it kind of there's a lot of things under our control that you can, you know, form as a source of strength, right? And everybody is starting from a different place. And like I said, when I started this, is like, I'm fortunate that I have a line of work that kind of forces me to stay at a certain level of fitness and a certain weight. I'd like to think I would do, you know, 85% of that, you know, without somebody threatening to, you know, fire me or, you know, kick me out of the, you know, my job if right. I don't. But I think it's a good reminder that, you know, if you do the best you can controlling the things that you can control, whether, you know, a weird election cycle or a pandemic or what have you, you know, it's similar to what we've talked about with, you know, being prepared. You know, you don't have to be to the level of where people are going to say you're a crazy prepper hoarder person, but you know, the things that you should do, right? I mean, being prepared for life, like we've put it in some of our other discussions and articles that we've written. And you know, you never know when you're going to have a year like this. You never know when you're going to get laid off from your job. But if you can, I think, invest in those things that you know are always good, you know, taking care of your, you know, diet, fitness, mental and spiritual health, challenging yourself to do hard things that make you better. You know, the Stoics talk about it a lot, you know, practicing, you know, eating simple food and wearing simple clothes so that way, you know, hey, if you lost everything and had to sell your house and your cars, you're like, hey, I can eat rice and beans, you know, for a week. And, you know, I know what it's like. I can, you know, wear, you know, white t-shirts and jeans with a, you know, a simple jacket and know what it feels like. And there's reasons why a lot of this this wisdom has been around for thousands of years. It's because, you know, human nature doesn't change. I mean, you can change technology, you can change the challenges, but, you know, the more we can invest in ourselves, the better. And so I think that, you know, like I said, this event just reminded me, no matter all the other things that I've tried to prepare, I mean, you know, stretching your comfort zone is just one of those things that gives you a little more confidence in dealing with the craziness that, you know, could come anytime.
I agree, Chris. That's a great and powerful message. I appreciate you sharing your adventures with the marathon this past week. Looking ahead, I wanted to make note that we're moving into a few interviews we have coming up. I know we've got one next week that I'm really excited for. And I've got one that I'm going to post here soon from one of our frequented guests, Dr. John Sullivan. I've got one he did with me just about a week ago. I haven't got a chance to post that one to everyone. I think we'll post that one next week, perhaps. And then we've got a really good one with a best-selling author, Navy SEAL, really cool guy that we're going to be interviewing next week. So kind of foreshadowing that one a little bit. So we've got some good things coming down the pipeline. And I know in my daily readings, I've got some new material and book reviews and things like that I'm working on. So look forward to meeting with you again and chatting with our audience. If anyone is interested in contacting us or, you know, kind of giving us some show ideas or some feedback on the shows we've done, please reach out to us at the Future Focus Health Network and the specifically the WFO Life Tribe portion of that. So, Chris, I guess let's end it on that note.
Yeah, sounds great. Looking forward to the next few weeks.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Yep.